Last week, Joe was mentioning a few things in the book of John. Pastor mentioned things of Father's Day. And you know, we don't get together, what are you talking about? We're all kind of on that same theme last week about, they mentioned about that last verse in the Testament in Malachi, where it says, "Behold, I send you Elijah, a prophet, before coming the great dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to fathers, lest I come and smite thee with a curse." It's interesting because obviously the context of that was for Israel, as the Lord closed the word there. You know, they're waiting for somebody, Elijah, to show up, pointing the way to the Lord. And obviously, you know, John was that in type. But you know what, that was interesting from a spiritual standpoint. You know, what's the principle there? Here are the fathers, you know, us. You know, we're, our job is to train and instruct and lead and disciple our children. Amen? From a spiritual standpoint. Anyway, though, there's a blessing for that if you do it right, and a curse if you don't. You see that? So there's a principle always there. You know, there's a doctrinal principle, and then there's always a, you know, spiritual principle. You know, and obviously our goal is what? Looking for the blessed hope. So they were looking for Elijah to come to bring the Messiah, and they kind of missed it. And it seems like even today, we talk about the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Amen? So the believer is to be looking for that blessed hope. And that's really a joyous thing. But I see even believers I talk to, well, you know, they seem to kind of put that in second nature. But see, I mean, the world clearly has no clue of it. But remember, God was talking to a specific group, Israel. At this time, they missed it. And even the believers, a lot of people don't believe in it, believe in the rapture. I work with all believers in my office, and there's a lawyer, one of the lawyers there, he's a Calvinist. He doesn't believe in a rapture at all. And we give him a hard time. We do it with charity. We were like, hey, you know, name is Cam, you know? And that's a pastor. You know, and we always give him, they don't believe in this. And he believes in some things, like he understands some things about, you know, moon landing ain't being true, I guess, and flat, all that. Some things he gets pretty good, but some things like, what do you do with the verses here? And, you know, in Titus chapter, you know, 3, verse 15, and 1 Corinthians, and Thessalonians. It's plain English, but, you know, this is a little truth here. You know, we're waiting for the blessed hope. That's our goal. And actually, there's actually a reward for those that look for us coming. So that's an easy one to get, you think, right? Amen? Just a little tidbit to our Sunday school. Part B. More information about brats, how to raise a brat. Part A was last time I did a couple weeks ago. This is part B, a few things, a few items. How to raise a brat. Remember, we had a world of rebellion, and someone had to teach those things or not teach things that had brat kids. Scream at your children. That's a good way to get them. Just scream at them. Now, if they're running in the street after a ball, hey! The time to raise your voice and say stop, obviously, you know, but you know, screaming at them is not the right way to disciple people. You know, it's, the Bible says to instruct the children. You instruct them, you know, don't just tell them, you know, well, here's why I do it, and you give them instructions how to do things. Now, I know men don't like instructions. We get something to build. We just put the instruction book away, look at the picture, try to figure it out. You know, there's a process. A, B, C, D. There's always a reason why that is. I learned to do that over the years. I had dark hair. I put things together. Now I better follow the instructions. You know, it comes out better. You know, so you know. But our job is to instruct the children. Amen. You don't do them, scream at them. Problem. Let your child come and go as they want. We have a lot going on. Just, you know, though. I think it's just lazy parenting. Hey, whoa, and let them go as they come. Hey, today, you know, all going on, that is definitely that they're neglected. That's you're telling your kid that, hey, I don't care about you. Amen? Paul.
That Dr. Ruckman says it's strange that we lock up the dog at night and let our kids run around.
Amen. Amen. It's a strange thing. You see, the pets get more attention than the children. There's pet hospitals by me. Big hospitals are for pets in those stories. Okay. Parents want to make their kids popular. You got to be popular. You know, that's what all the designer stuff is. You're not wearing designer jeans or guest glasses, whatever. I don't know what all that is, you know. And they make all the way. Hey, that's just a bad thing. It's the kind of the way of the world. I'm not saying don't dress well, but they have to be, make them popular in school. What's popular? Hey, we're supposed to be against the world in a lot of these things, you know. I'm wrong, you know, being decency and order, but a lot of this popularity thing is terrible. And it comes down to let them watch TV. We're growing up. Now it's what? The internet phone, Facebook, all that. Hey, you got 500 friends. Nobody's got 500 friends. You gotta be kidding me. Friends, one of the most misunderstood word in the English language. What? Friend and love. Amen? What misunderstood? You don't have 500. You get one, two, three good friends, real friends in your life. You've really got something. Amen? Where you call them up. Hey, man, I got a flat tire. I'll be right there. Well, you know, or I have a problem. They'll show up. Those are friends, you know? I mean, real friends. And they're letting these computers. I was at a restaurant the other day, and it was a family. They're around a table. No one's talking. They're all on their phones. The entire family. It's like, you know, you're right there. Say hello. What's going on? They're just all on their phones, shoving their face. They're all on their phones. We got a world problem. Get that, you know? Absolutely. A problem. That's how you raise brass. Just a little tidbit. We're getting Father's Day before and after. You understand some of these things, but hang with though. There's simple things you can do. How not to raise a breath. They're made today from the world. Very, very, very sad. You know, just absolutely sad. We were at an event. I think it was last week. Woodbridge Fest. These kids that come to us. They're 13, 14, 15 years old. And I was, at that age, I was like innocent. If you had a cigarette, guys smoke cigarettes, man. The guy's smoking. You imagine that. That guy smokes. You're kidding me. I mean, my generation, you know? 14-year-old girls, AC/DC. I'm a Satan worshiper. I mean, where are you getting that stuff at that young age? They're getting brainwashed at a younger and younger and younger age. They're searing their conscience at a young age. It's a very dangerous thing to sear the news. It's terrible. That's just part B of how to raise a brat. Okay, getting to our study. The last time I did Sunday school, we're talking about things that happen to the born-again believer once he gets saved. Now, none of these things really you know when you get saved. You get saved, you get saved from hell, amen. But there are a lot of things behind the scene that the Lord does for us. And as we learn these, we realize how precious and wonderful our salvation really is. And there's things that are restored, relationships, as far as our relationship to God the Father, the God the Son, the God, Holy Spirit, and relationship to ourselves. And God does these or allows them at salvation. And as we learn them, you know what though? We get to appreciate the Word of God more, Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going through those things. We covered, I think, 7 or 8 last time on the relationship to our Father. I'm going to finish up that today, maybe get to the Son. We covered our relationship, access to God's grace. We're adopted into God's family. We become a child of God. A child of God. We got an inheritance. We are elected. Went through that, not being Calvinism. We have heavenly citizenship. And I'm coming out here now with we become heir of God. Now, being an heir of God is different than having an inheritance. And as I covered in an inheritance, things happen when you're saved. One of them is, and the inheritance part is, we're gonna have a new body one day called glorification. That just comes automatically. You didn't live for the Lord, you're not getting glorified. We're gonna have a glorified body. That's just part of our rewards are a little different. I'll cover that, but the glorified body for the saint today, that's just part of the process. When I got saved, I knew nothing about, I'm going to have a new body one day. And I learned that, but that's just part of that. Hey, all my children, they get saved. This is the part, other things you get. So here it comes, we become an heir of God. Let me explain this to you here. It says, Galatians 3:29, and if we be Christ's, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. Now, there's a couple of promises given to Abraham. If you look back at Genesis 15, you know, he's, you know, I have no children, I go childrenless. Or says, I'll look up in heaven. And, you know, your heirs, your children be as the stars. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. He believed what God said, that his offspring will be like those stars. That was what he believed. He didn't believe in the coming of Jesus Christ, you know, looking forward to the cross, all that. Now, for him, he just believed what God said, and he said, I believe it. And that took some faith to believe. Obviously, up there in age, you know, we have kids like, you know, back then, you know, God would bless you by living right. He's almost obligated, you know, to get you, you know, having children and financial. It was almost something that people looked at in the Old Testament because, hey, you're living right and there's blessings. Today, we're under the grace of God. You know, you have a lot of troubles. But then also God gave Abraham a land grant. There's a land grant, you know. And he gave him, that's why, you know, look at Israel. They're fighting over, you know, Palestine, Israel. That little piece of land, it's always under conflict. And I don't know how many people have ever been to Israel. I went with Pastor Hoffman back in, was it 2018? But maybe it's changed a lot, you know, the course of the land. But it's kind of a dry, rocky desert. It ain't like, you know, like, you know, we've been to Switzerland and Germany. And, man, there's some beautiful areas. But God called it a beautiful land. Beautiful land. You know why? Because it has to do with his son. See, it's associated with his son. And things that are associated with his son, God likes. And of course, the devil is against that. So why is that piece of, you know, I think very pretty piece of land. I like going there. I mean, history was great, but it's kind of barren, rocky, dry, you know, everything, you know, because it's associated with his son, Lord Jesus Christ. If you associate things with the son, you're in good standards. And so, there's a land grant given. So it says here in Galatians 3:9, Abraham, Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs to God and joint heirs with Christ. If so, we be that suffer with them, then we should also be glorified together. So I obviously, the promise to us isn't that seeds, but it's the land. So possibly getting property to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. First on that, 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he shall deny us. Not salvation, but to reign, obviously, right? So what an opportunity. We have a chance to reign something. I mean, reign. I don't know you, but I'm looking forward to that. Maybe he'll give me Joliet or Plainfield. I don't know. I have some property in Coal City. It's an association, and I'm kind of like the preacher guy there, and maybe I'll get that property. Hey, Tim, you have that property now to manage. Oh, well, thank you very much. Whatever it's going to be, whatever it is, we're going to reign with the Lord. So there's an opportunity there to reign with the Lord. Revelation 5:10, and hath made us unto our God's king and priest, and we shall reign on the earth. The reigning has to be, it says become heir of God. There it is. It is something that the Lord does us. And that is a reward for serving the Lord. There's rewards for serving the Lord. So that's something we can get becoming heirs with God. Next one. We become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So we become a new creature. I want to get a little deeper in this thing here. It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availed anything. Now, the context is in Galatians, they're trying to add something to get favor with the Lord. You know, today, you know, a lot of Baptists, well, if you ain't doing this, whatever it is, you can't be, you may be not saved. The way you dress, or that has nothing to do with salvation. It's a principle. They're always trying to add something onto the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's why the finished work of Jesus Christ is one thing. Jesus Christ died for you, period. This part is sanctification, separation. You can't combine the two. They're always trying to, hey, this is to show that now you're, hey, this, see? The thing about teaching is, well, if I don't go to theaters or don't drink or don't, whatever that thing is, oh, I must be saved. So you're counting on that work. See, I'm saying it's a real toughy thing there. If Jesus Christ saved you, period. Get that? That's important. That's where it is. So there, this, I want to give you the context here. Nor emperors, but a new creature. That's God's part. That's God's part. Now, look at Genesis 1:20. Then this is a little thing here about this new creature. On Genesis 1:20, it says, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life." So here we go. Here's a principle. God is using water to bring life. Even the scientists say, oh yeah, we need planets around the world, supposedly. If we find water, we find life. So you associate water with new creature. There's association there. It's a biblical concept. Mark 16:15. Let me look what I have this down here. Let me look at Mark 16:15. Matthew, Mark 16:15. I got it written down, not typed out. Mark 16:15. It says here, Mark 16:15. And also Pilate, willing to consent the people, released Barabbas and them and delivered Jesus. And he was scourged. That's not the wrong verse. I apologize. Mark 16:15. Here we go. "And we stand unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So obviously God calls us a creature, and it's associated again with water. In John 3:3, it says, "He that's born of the water and the Spirit." Well, obviously the water could be the physical birth a lot of times associated with, you know, water, woman's water breaks. But you know what though? The water associated with sometimes the Word of God, right? And the Word of God gives life. So the water and the Word are associated with giving, with something coming anew, a new creature. It says here in Ephesians 5:26, "that we might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word." See that? Water brings forth life to creatures. And so you can find Jesus Christ back even in Genesis there. You see him over and over again associating things in right now, New Testament, but he kind of has them over there in the Old Testament. Very interesting. Boy, that's what's going. I mean, that we having the completed Word of God, you see all these truths that were over kind of concealed back here, but are revealed back in the New Testament. So we have that. We are new creatures. We like that. Water brings back life. Water of the living long bringing back to life a new creature. You're saved. We're now new creatures. Amen. We become a servant of God. Romans 6:22. But now, Paul, but now being made free from sin and become servant to God. It's our relationship to God part, okay? We become servants of God. It says, "Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." Now that's interesting because you know why? It says here, "you have in your fruit holiness." We covered that in previous lessons. Holiness, that's separation, right? Holiness is a separation. You know how you know? You're separated from God. When you get saved, one thing, it's salvation, what? Separation, sanctification, motivation, service, right? Titus there, you know? So a child of God, we have holiness. There's that separation all through the Old Testament. They were separated. Separated is kind of a bad word, but it's a Bible word. It's good to be separated from things that obviously it's our obligation, and it's our desire should be separating from the things. Hey, maybe when, you know, I got saved, I liked lemonade and fishing. I still like lemonade and fishing, but those weren't things that were, hey, things that weren't so good. I ain't doing A, B, and C. I don't need to tell you what they are, but some things aren't bad to do. You know, you separate from things that are don't draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you're fishing all the time and Sundays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and blah, blah, blah. But it's always, the pendulum swings a lot of different ways. And it says here, and the end, everlasting life. There's our reminder and motivation. See that there? God always says, hey, man, service, remind you, everlasting life. That's how he does that. So what that means is we should then, it says being a servant of God, it says Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated. See that there? Separated unto the gospel of God. So to be a servant of God, it's a process. It should be a reasonable thing. 1 Corinthians 7:22. For he hath called us in the Lord. Being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that called, being free, is Christ's servant. So there you are. You know why I serve the Lord? It's a voluntary thing. It's a voluntary. Hey, in the Old Testament happened, they had slaves there, and they had slaves from either conquest or everything, you know? And a lot of times the slaves loved their masters, and they were given free. I want to serve you forever. Why? Because they voluntarily love. And they had a little earring on there, and they put a thing in there. Hey, we love it. We're the same way today is, hey, we're saved, and praise the Lord, but we should voluntarily be willing to serve the Lord. Hey, the Lord always looking, hey, you know what, though? There's a saint of God. I got a job for you. Okay, hey, how about doing this job? You know what, though? Worst thing is, I don't want to do that. You know what, the Lord? Okay, move away, young Christian, or whoever you are. Over, I'm going to get somebody else. It's a shame that you would be able to use. See, you would be able to be a servant of God. What a great truth is to be a servant of God voluntarily, freely. We should serve the Lord because we are free. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. He took the first step. Amen. And so that servanthood is a free will deal. And if you have pressure on you, well, I got to do it. You know what, though? You're half-hearted. You freely do something for the Lord. That's why I call servants of God. Paul was our example. Get that? Okay. We become priests of God. Now, this is in 1 Peter, so I understand, possibly under tribulation, but get the concept here. But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I'm speaking more to Israel, but we're peculiar, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, there you are. You know why? Hey, you know why we're priests? Because the context, obviously, is nation Israel. If you look at, the Old Testament, they had priests, and they were able to come to God and had to bring their sacrifice, all that. But you know what, though? We today have access to God directly, don't we? Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. The big church, the Roman church, they say you need their people to get access. They're wearing long robes, calling themselves fathers, dressing like mothers, playing, doing something in the back room or something. That's just, you have to go to them. No. We have direct access. People don't realize we have direct access to God. It's a royal priesthood. Ephesians 2:18. For though we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. See, there's that Father relationship, restored that relationship, our Father through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:12. In whom we have boldness and access and confidence by faith to him. You see that? That's that. We have can go directly to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need Mary or some charms or some smoke, all that. That's a great privilege for the saint to have. And all these things are part of that relationship started when the Lord saved you. What a great, you didn't realize all these things, man. As you learn them more, you're like, wow, it gets better and better and better. And that's why as you mature in the Lord, you should draw closer and be more attuned to him because you're learning these things. We are reconciled to God. We are reconciled to God. Romans 5:10. For if, when we were enemies and were reconciled to God, this is restoring our relationship to God, remember, by the who? The death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Obviously, you know, death, burial, resurrection, the gospel, Ephesians 2:13. But now, in Christ Jesus, who we sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There you are. It's that blood that gives us access. I remember my old days growing up, I was on the Moody Bible Radio. I turned them off a long time ago, and I remember John MacArthur was saying, "Out of the blood doesn't mean anything." You know, and even I'm going to go, that don't sound right. Something, you know, a saint, you share something, it just doesn't sound right. You know, like Mrs. Hoffman here was teaching the choir here and just people are singing. I have no clue about music. Oh, you sound different. I couldn't tell of nothing what's going on. I don't know. I'm like, your A figure's high. You're talking to Greek to me, you know, but she can hear that. You want, because someone has an ear for music can hear when you're a soprano or a Picasso, I don't know what they are even called, you know. They don't know what's going on. But a child of God should know the word of God enough here where he hears something doctrinally, that don't sound right, right? Amen? And so here we, same thing here. It's that blood that gives us access to be reconciled. And again, the first mention of this is in that Leviticus 8:14 where they brought the bullocks and offered blood and sanctified, and they were reconciled, right, through the blood that the priest had. So here now we don't need a priest, we're direct priests, but it's through Jesus' blood that reconciles, so we're able to get that priest to go to God directly. That's a great deal. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. And all things are God who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So he's our access through his shed blood to get to God. That's phenomenal. I mean, that's all the technical things, but you can see how the Lord used the Old Testament and how he had to go through the old ways of doing things. I'm glad I'm under the old law. Got to go find the animal. Got to bring him in. I hope my exercise, I got to take my sacrifice. All that stuff. Man, that's just, in fact, it's so good today. The problem with it is, it's so good that, you know what, sometimes we take it for granted. That's a problem. We take it for granted. Hey, it's so good. And then you know what, though? It becomes commonplace. That's why it's good to review and see what kind of the Lord's doing. It says here, and had given us a ministry of what? Reconciliation. Amen? That's what a ministry is. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and imputing their trespass into them and committed it to us, the world of reconciliation. Ask a Roman Catholic priest, what is the word imputation mean? Have them try to describe that word. They have no clue. Well, that's a Bible word. That's what they don't get. We do get understand that. Amen. In Scripture, the trespassing unto, people had trespasses to them, and they always wanted to be some kind of reconciliation. In Scripture, this means which sinners are reconciled and brought into the state and favor of God. We have that through the blood of Jesus Christ. And relationships are restored. That's why it's a good principle to understand to have relationships restored. The act of reconciling parties at variance or friendships or disagreements back in the fellowship. That's done because what the Lord did for us. And we should be an example. Hey, the Lord did it for us. So we shouldn't be so close-minded to restore a relationship. You know, I do estate planning for a living, 32 years. And so when people come in, I've heard all, you name a story, I've heard it. And since they're dealing with their finances, I see why they're doing things. So I get the whole life stories in a matter of a couple hours. I have folks that own their kids and parents. And I mean, I go, what kind of happened? They don't even remember. They're so aggravated about what happened. They don't even know what it was. I'm like, how can you? I mean, they're so aggravated and bitter. They don't understand this. And then, I don't know, some meeting we had or party or something. I'm like, huh? You're still bitter about that? How many years ago? 30 years ago. I had a lady, true story, that she had one daughter, and for whatever reason, she disowned her own daughter. Just disowned her. And the lady I'm talking to was a trustee. She couldn't even, her friend couldn't even tell me, what did she do that caused that variance? She didn't know. So she cut her own daughter out and gave her resources, she passed away before she came to see us, to her granddaughter. And the granddaughter, who was like in their 20s, they had two twin kids. I think they were in Texas, I believe. And they went gambling that day, and both kids were left in the car, and one died from being too hot, and the other one, you know, it was a save, and they put both those parents in jail, I think 15-year mandatory. So, I mean, and so because of the law, it was like $900,000, they couldn't get the money. So it was bypassed and went to Mort Arboretum in Lyle. So all because of bitterness, you know, whatever it is, resources, but instead of having someone getting it and using it, it dug some trees up. They made some trees out of it. What pathetic. All because they didn't understand this principle, reconciliation. The principle of that. I mean, I'm like, I felt so, man, those kids, that girl could have got 900 grand. I probably helped her out in young life in jail, bypassed her, and we have what they call the legal term for it is when no one's left, it goes here. I call it the rapture clause. My thing, you know, no one's to get it, call it the rapture clause. But I went to Martin Arboretum, they had it, and they named somebody because no one's left. His daughter, she was left out. The daughter, the granddaughter, she couldn't get it because of a thing, went to Mort Arboretum. Pathetic. Now, probably all unsaved people. In fact, we got the storage shed to clear out. My buddy did it, and I went there. I got some nice little furniture. I had my house today. So I got some furniture, but it's another story. So just showing you what happens here about the ministry of reconciliation. It's part that reconciled to God. He took the first initiative. So that's a principle the believer should have. Amen? Okay. I only have one more left for our relationship with God, and I'll save it for next time, Lord willing. And then we'll get into our relationship to the Son. Okay? I think next time, I believe, Brother Paul is going to be taking Sunday school, right, brother? So I'll be out of town. So pray for him. Any questions or comments? Anything we covered today? Yes, sir. But Ray? Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. Reconciliation takes two-way street. You can try your part. You can't force them to do anything. So you want to have a clean conscience before the Lord Jesus Christ. So, hey, I'm doing my best. I do my best to reconcile this, whatever it is. And then it takes a two-party street. God reconciled, though it says the world, right? He died for the world. And, you know, so, but then how many reconcile? Hey, I recognize that to him. Same principle. In fact, if someone was unsaved, and just took the principles of Scripture, they'd be way better off. I tell people, if you took the principles of the Bible, you know, eating, finances, health, well, you'd be great. Obviously, doing it, you're thinking of principle. There are a lot of principles: principle of reaping and sowing. That's a general term. You reap what you sow. You farmers, you plant corn, a little corn, Keith. You're gonna reap more corn later. Duh. Right? You know, I mean, hey, but you plant corruption, you're going to have more of it later. It's a principle. I mean, it's a principle of reaping and sowing. And that's found in the Galatians there. And so it's a great way to live in if you're lost. That's all temporal here, but no doubt that's a good reconciliation. But to understand it is to understand what the Lord did for you, right? He took the first step. Reconcile word to him. I'm like, wait a minute here. You did it for me? Well, here are some people here. I need to reconcile whatever it is, and then that you understand that principle of salvation, and then you can apply it, and guess what? You restore a relationship. I like that. I'll get more into that when I get to the reconciliation with yourself later on. People don't forget themselves and all that, so that's down the road. Okay, any other questions or comments or suggestions or whatever? Okay, well, amen. Father in heaven, thank you for an opportunity just to open up the Word of God. And look at some principles here, Lord, the things that you've done for us. Hey, it's phenomenal. We're like to brag on you how good they are. So thank you very much for them. I just pray now for that maybe moving some hearts or minds, that maybe some folks here need to just apply some of these, that just work in their hearts and minds, Father. And I pray for Pastor Hoffman as he comes here just a little bit, and ministers, I pray you keep him, give him the words and the wisdom and the convictions, whatever it may be, to help his congregation here get closer with thee. So we thank you. I pray for his health. I pray it's all working out well. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.